Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John's Gospel in chapter number 8. We're going to continue our study of John, and we'll look at verses 12 through 20, and then probably go down through verse 30 before it's over. But story before we begin. This dad walked beside his son's room, and he heard his son talking. So he opened up the door, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" And the son said, "I'm talking to Howard." And he said, "You're talking to Howard?" And the son said, "Yeah, Dad. Don't you know? I mean, don't you listen in church? We sing and we praise, and then we say that scripture. We say, 'Our Father who art in Howard.'" And he said, "No, son, that's heaven." Now, what's in a name? There's power in a name. The most powerful name of God is I Am. I Am. And we see that in John's Gospel 45 times. In John chapter 6, we see that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Today we're going to see that He is the light of the world. So there's a lot in a name. With that said, stand with me, John chapter 8, and we will begin reading in verse number 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying," remember, he's still in the temple, in the tabernacle, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from, or I came from, and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me.' Then they said to him, 'Where is your Father?' And Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father.' These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come." Let us bow. Heavenly Father, I pray for wisdom and guidance today as we navigate this passage of Scripture. Open up our hearts and our minds that we might comprehend and understand that Jesus truly is the light of the world, and we are to reflect His light. And Father, we are in a dark world, but You give us hope and You give us light. So Father, as we see You give light and life, help us, Father, to be light givers and life givers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage, as it goes on down, not only talks about Jesus as the light of the world, but also life. And we're going to look at both aspects of that before we're finished. Because where there is a light, there is life. And light and life are connected. And as you think about that, imagine the sun not shining. Imagine the moon not illuminated at night. Imagine total darkness. And that's what happens when there is absence of Christ in our life. There is absolute and utter darkness. Now, thankfully, God sends the sun for us during the day in the time that we call daylight or day. And then at night, it shifts. And as the planet rotates, then we get the moon, and we have the light of the moon. But the moon doesn't produce light. The moon can only reflect light. And that's what we do. We don't produce the light. We reflect the light of Christ in our lives. Now, think about it. For thousands and thousands of years, at night, the only light that men and women had on the earth, they had to rely on torches or lanterns or candles. It's only been in the last 100-plus years that we've had electricity, where we could run lights all night. And I want to show you something. It's a satellite picture of Korea. Now, I want you to see South Korea, and then I want you to see North Korea. Look how dark North Korea is. Look how light South Korea is. How much light there is there. The darkest place on the earth at night is North Korea. Now, there's a spiritual lesson here. There are some of the largest churches in the world are located in South Korea. And there are no churches in North Korea. It is not only dark literally, but it is dark spiritually. And in South Korea, there is spiritual life, so there is light. And there is life. And that is an illustration of what God does in our life. When He comes into our life and changes us and gives us light, and then we share that light with others. Now, He gives us light. So let's think about light for just a moment. Jesus gives us light to overcome darkness. Now, it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, some of the first words of God that we have in our Bible speak of light. Light. And think about it like this. On the fourth day, when God created the light, the sun and the moon and the stars, imagine, the day is almost over yet. There's not really been any days that man's walked the earth at this time. And maybe an angel said to God, well, are you almost finished? Are you finished for now? And God could have said something like this. Yes, let's call it a day. I know, bad jokes, right? Think about what He said in Genesis. In the beginning were the heavens and the earth. And then you go to John chapter 1, and it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So you see there's a connection between light and life. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it, or actually a better translation would be to overcome it. If we were to shut off all of the lights, black out this building completely, and I were to light a match, the darkness would flee. Why? Because life and light go together. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So, let's look at this in a number of ways. First, His light illuminates. His light illuminates. It just lights up. I mean, Jesus is in the temple court at this time. He's been teaching in the temple court, and people are gathered around Him. And as He is teaching in the temple court that day, they have this tradition, and it's called the illumination, the temple illumination ceremony. And it would happen during this harvest feast and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they had four tall poles, 70 foot tall, with four lanterns, four huge lanterns. It took 5 gallons of olive oil each, and they're 70 feet tall. And the young priest would climb up the ladder, and they would put the oil in, and then during this temple ceremony, this celebration ceremony, they would light up those four large lamps on those four large poles. And eyewitnesses said it lit up the entire city of Jerusalem. And what's happening at this particular time, Jesus is standing down below one of those lamps that are being lit, and then He cries out, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And what an astounding thing to say. Now, obviously, those in attendance that day were like, what? What does He mean? He's the light of the world. That's light. But Jesus was saying, listen, if you don't walk in me, you're going to walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't been to a lot of these restaurants, but every time I do, I'm disappointed. You go to a restaurant where the lighting is low. You ever been in one of those? You know, you can't read the menu. You can't see anything. Fortunately, we have this device that I carry in my pocket. I don't carry it when I'm preaching, but I pull it out, and it has a flashlight on it so I can see the menu. And, you know, by the way, that flashlight on that device, I can do other things with that device. I can check the weather. I can even text. I can pull information up. And you know what else I can do with that? It's also good for making phone calls. Few people use those for phones anymore. They use everything else in text, but then I can see what the menu says. And one thing I've noticed about these restaurants, the dimmer the lights, the higher the price. I don't know if they have an electricity problem or just, I have no idea. But we need to be able to have life. And light gives life. And it illuminates us. So light comes suddenly. I mean, think about it. When you were young and maybe you had become a Christian and you were starting to read the Bible and you're like, I don't understand what that means and I don't understand what that says and how am I to understand that? And then when you give your life to Christ, all of a sudden, illumination comes. Oh, now I know what that means. You ever been there? It's like, oh, now I see with clarity. You know what that is? That's called the gift of the Holy Spirit giving us direction and wisdom and guidance and light. And that's what we need. We need illumination. We need the illuminating power of Jesus in our life to be light for those around us. Secondly, his light exposes. Now, this is not necessarily something we like to think about, but it exposes sin in our lives. It shows us the deficit that we have in our life. We often do deeds of darkness, and we think that they are hidden from everyone, but God sees every single thing that we do. In fact, Mark chapter 4, verse 22 said, there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor anything kept secret, but that it should come to light. It's kind of like going to the dentist. You know, when you go to the dentist, they make you sit in this chair, and they'll put this piece of plastic over you, and then they'll start reclining you, and then they'll have this bright light that comes on. You know what I mean? And sometimes they'll even have these goggles with lights that are bright that they can see even better. And I'm glad they do because it exposes what's wrong in here. If I have a cavity, I don't want them drilling the wrong tooth. But it exposes that. And that's what the Word of God does. It exposes. You've heard it said, you can fool others, but you can't fool yourself. That's not true. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, even deceiving yourself. That talks about the reality of self-deception. And, you know, we can deceive ourselves. That's why this book is a mirror, and the more we get into it, the more it reveals where we are at spiritually and lets us know what we need to do and what we don't need to do. Imagine. Listen to me. Imagine this past week. Every single thought that you have, every single word that you have said, every deed that you have done starts rolling on the screen. What would you do? I think I would be ashamed, wouldn't you? And I might want to slip out because I don't want everybody knowing what I think. Right? So, the fact of the matter is, if every negative, critical, condescending thought, every harsh word, every lustful thing that we have thought, every secret loathing of someone else, when God says He knows it all, it means He has it all written. So, God's light exposes. It illuminates, but it does one other thing. It also guides. I'm going to ask you a trivia question, TV trivia question. Anybody know what the longest running TV drama was? Guiding Light. I don't know who said that. Guiding Light. You know how long the Guiding Light ran? 57 years on TV. And then they turned out the light. 2009, they shut it down. They canceled it. But I want you to know something. God's guiding light will never be canceled. It will always be there. Then guiding and directing us. And you know where that comes from? During this temple celebration, they'd done this for thousands of years, talking about the guiding light of God. When they left Egypt, and it was a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by the night that would guide them. When it would stop, they would stop. And that's a pretty good illustration of what we should do in our life. When God stops, we should stop. When he goes, we should go. When he moves, we move. When he stops, we stop. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, it says these words. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Wow. God's guiding light. You said, I wish God would give me a light like that. He has. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We want God's light way out there so we can see down the road. But you know what God says we need? We need it right here. We need it on our feet, each step. Because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't know what to do. But also, if we have all of that, we don't need faith. So it's by faith. Each step, it's like he lights our way. And we take a step, he lights the way. We take a step, he lights the way. It's God's GPS. God's plan of salvation. It's what it is. Now, Jesus gives us something else. He not only gives us light, but he gives us life. He gives us life to conquer death. So let's read a little bit further today. We're going to start in verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will, now listen to this, you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe in me, believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that pleases him. And I'm going to go ahead and read one more verse. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. In his ongoing conversation with the Jewish religious leaders there that day, Jesus condemned them, and they were angry at him. He claimed that he had come from the Father, and they basically said, no, we don't know who your father is, because during this time Jesus was walking the earth, they thought he was born out of wedlock. And they, well, you know what they called him. But the religious leaders could not understand why and what Jesus was saying, because they couldn't understand it spiritually. And Jesus shares a couple of powerful truths with us in this. And the first one is this: we are drawn to the cross to receive life. We are drawn to the cross to receive life. Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew he was going to go be buried in the grave. He knew he was going to resurrect from the grave. And he knew he was going to ascend back into heaven. And that's why he said, where I'm going, you don't know, and you can't understand that. That's what he told them. Jesus predicted he would be lifted up. Watch this. John chapter 3, verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In John chapter 8, passage I just read. And when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And then you go to chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying what death he would die. Now, in hindsight, it almost seems absurd that a Jewish rabbi would propose that he was going to die by crucifixion. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Think about it like this. Like iron fillings are drawn to a magnet, so are we drawn to Jesus when he is lifted up. We're drawn to him. He gives that drawing power, and without that drawing power, we can't come to Christ. Jesus was the light of the world, but for a short time, a very short period of time, that deity was extinguished. On the cross, for 3 hours. That was extinguishing. Just hanging there between heaven and earth, God's own Son, as though he were fit for neither heaven nor earth, taking our sins upon himself. And experiencing an eternity of hell in a moment of time. What you and I would experience throughout all eternity, he experienced those 3 hours on the cross. Hell is real. It is a place of horror, torture, torment, gnashing of teeth, weeping. It is a horrible, horrible place. And for those 3 hours, that's what Jesus experienced hanging there on the cross that day. Listen, we're drawn to the cross to receive life. Secondly, we will either die in our sins or we will die in the Lord. Now, stay with me on this. If the Lord tarries, you are going to die. One for one. You're going to die. That is the truth. But have you ever wondered how you will die? You ever wondered how you'll die? Oh, I know. I know how I'm going to die. I'm going to eat a good meal that my wife cooked. I'm going to get cleaned up, brush my teeth, go to bed, lean over, kiss her good night, tell her I love her, wake up in heaven. That's how it's going to happen, right? I mean, that's how we all want it to happen. But I read this book, and actually it was just a series of stories, 1,000 Ways to Die. Oh. Gruesome. Gruesome. But I think there's a better question. And I think we need to look not from the physical perspective, but from the spiritual perspective, because I can tell you how you're going to die. You will either die in the Lord or you will die in your sins. That's it. Those are the only two ways. In the Lord or in your sins. Jesus told these religious leaders 3 times that they would die in their sins. Look at the verses. Verse 21, you will die in your sin. Look at the next verse. 2 times it says, die in your sins, die in your sins. You know what that's saying? Bam, bam, bam. You better pay attention because you're going to die in your sins. When Jesus repeats something, it's important that we pay attention. And when he repeats it 3 times together, we better pay real attention. It's pretty easy to kind of think, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. Well, yes, we are. And people think, well, you know what? I'm as good as those folks going to church, or I'm as good as that preacher, or I'm as good as that person that works at the door, or is a deacon, or that person who's a leader. I'm as good as they are. The problem is not being as good as they are, it's being as bad as they are. We all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. If without Jesus, we will die in our sin. When I was much younger, gospel tracts were really big. Who remembers gospel tracts? Yeah, some of you do. Well, I had this gospel tract. It said, what to do to go to hell on the outside of it. And you opened it up, and you know what was on the inside? Nothing. It was blank. Do nothing, you'll go to hell. You'll die in your sins. Without Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of your sins, you will die in your sins. But there's another way to die, and that's to die in the Lord. And all we have to do for that is really nothing, with the exception of trusting Christ. All the work's been done on the cross. What you do is receive forgiveness and experience eternal life, and you will be saved. There's a tremendous blessing ahead for those who die in the Lord. In fact, we're told about it in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So listen, you can't work your way to heaven, but your works can be sent to heaven. So what we do matters. So let's be Matthew 5:16 people. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, Jesus is light and he is life. And our responsibility is to reflect that light once we've received it. Just like the sun shines, the moon reflects. Jesus shines, we reflect. If you've never given your life to Christ, today's your opportunity. Come and experience the light and the life of the world. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, I pray that we might be about your business. I pray, Father, for your guiding light. And I pray, Father, for a peace that only you can provide. I do thank you for the grace that you've given. I thank you, Father, for the many blessings you provided. But the most important thing of all, Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for a relationship with your Son. And my prayer is everyone here has experienced not only the light that you show, but the life that you give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand.